We are here before the Martin Luther King Jr. Center in Atlanta, Georgia, at the rally commemorating Dr. King's birthday after what has been an extremely, extremely large turnout for this year's event. And I'm speaking with Representative Barbara Lee of California. And I would like to ask you, Congresswoman Lee, how do you feel about your participation in today's event, and what brings you here to be with us on this fine day?
Well, first, let me just say this is a very humbling moment for me, yet very uplifting to be here, really celebrating the birthday of a great prophet and a great visionary who gave us the directions in terms of war and peace, in terms of how to settle the world's problems through conflict resolution, nonviolent methods. And so today, I was just pleased and honored to have had some part of participating in this very magnificent rally for peace and justice.
I heard your remarks earlier about the question of war and peace, and as we've seen from the signs here today, that's a question that is very much on the minds of the participants in today's march, a very strong message for peace, a positive message for peace in the march today. Can you give us a few remarks about that?
Well, let me say I'm very hopeful that, as I said earlier, that the administration will begin to hear the voices of the people. As I said, the silent majority is really becoming a very vocal majority. And I'm very pleased to see so many African Americans involved in this new peace movement, because as we remember, when Dr. King was involved in opposing the Vietnam War, the civil rights movement and the peace movement weren't quite connected. Yet he went to Riverside Church and he talked about the fact that they should be one movement. And so what I see here today is one movement developing. I participated in the war against the rally and march on Saturday in San Francisco. We had over 100,000 people, very diverse crowd. Again, a movement for peace and justice to end poverty, racism, and war. And I see it coming together, and I'm very hopeful. It's going to be hard, but this coalition is building, and what I see in Atlanta today is a very magnificent sign that the coalition is alive and well.
Thank you very much. One last question for you. We know that you voted against the whole move towards war in Congress, and I would just like to ask you, for our listeners and our readers and our viewers, have you taken a lot of heat from your constituency or from the political structure for that stand?
Well, first, let me just say, fortunately, I was reelected with 81.6% of the vote, and I'm very thankful for my constituents in terms of standing by me and watching my back. I think the 9th Congressional District is very clear with regard to why I voted against giving Bush such broad authority to wage war. That resolution was a resolution that was open-ended. It did not mention any name, individual, country, organization. It just said the president shall use force against any nation, organization, individual, forever and ever he deems necessary, that was connected to 9/11. I mean, that could be forever and ever in perpetuity. And giving up the people's power and authority to declare war, the Constitution gives that to the Congress. And I didn't think it was right then. I don't think it was right now. I voted no then. It was the right vote, I felt, then, and it's the right vote today. And I must say, if you look at the vote now with regard to the vote against Bush on Iraq, we had 133 members voting against that resolution. You had 100% of the Hispanic caucus voting against Bush. You had all but four members of the Congressional Black Caucus voting against Bush. You had 100% of the Asian Pacific Islander members voting against Bush. And I offered a resolution, which was the most progressive resolution, requiring UN inspections and a peace process to move forward rather than war. And I got 72 votes, the Lee resolution, in Congress. So I think there's a lot of hope. I think the voices of the people are being heard in the United States Congress, and you're certainly seeing more members really understanding what lies ahead and acting accordingly.
Thank you very much.
First off, let me say thanks a whole lot. We really appreciate and we really admire everything you do, and I just can't tell you how grateful we are. Well, my question is, Professor Boyle, the constitutional law professor from the University of Chicago, has volunteered his services free of charge to any House member that would like to utilize his services to draft articles of impeachment. Has Professor Boyle, have you heard of this offer? Has he approached you? Would you care to make any comment about that, and would you support that resolution?
Well, let me say, there were many members in the audience today, in the crowd, who were were calling for that. And it was interesting that here in Atlanta we're hearing that. I would like to see what he's talking about. I haven't read his resolution, but of course I'd be interested to see what he's saying, what basis he has. And of course we remember how this election or selection took place, and you know, there's some history that was made and history is being made, so you never know. So Professor Boyle, I think you should move forward and let the public really have some input and decide what, in fact, we should do.